Hey there, all you guys and gals, you hip cats, cool kittens, my friends and foes. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Flip Side on the Diesel Punk Podcast. I am your host, the comic book loving, time traveling Diesel Punk, prophet of pop culture, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool, the impossibilist, John Pica. You can call me Johnny. And welcome back to another episode here on the Diesel Punk Podcast. And on this episode, I am going to give a quick overview and review of two movies that I recently saw and highly recommend for those of you who love retrofuturism or vintage, neo-vintage aesthetics and style. And if you're listening to this podcast, then you probably do because you're into the Diesel era style and aesthetic. Now, for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast because you saw that I'm reviewing Incredibles 2 and Bandstand, you might be asking, what is Diesel Punk? Diesel Punk is a celebration. It's a mashup of the style, aesthetics, and culture of the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, mashed up with contemporary sci-fi technology, fantasy. Think Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. Think Rocketeer. Think Captain America First Avenger. That gets you started down the right path of what Diesel Punk is. We love the style and aesthetics of the era. Our Diesel Punk has to have some element of science fiction, fantasy, and it's got to be a little bit anti-authoritarian, pushing against the norm, the status quo, celebrating the anti-hero. It's got to have that punk. So that's Diesel Punk, and you can learn more by listening to other episodes of the show and also going to dieselpunks.org. Now, before we get too far into this, I want to thank our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box. I am a professional magician, and I love Magic Subscription Box. They deliver a magic shop to your mailbox every month with $50, $60, $70, sometimes $80 worth of magic for under $30. It's amazing, and you can watch my reviews of all of the monthly boxes on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/BigDaddyCoolShows. It's the Tales from the Flip Side YouTube channel. And you can get your own magic subscription box at www.magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic, BDC as in Big Daddy Cool, Magic, and you'll get 50% off the first month. MagicSubscriptionBox.com, promo code BDCMagic. All right, well, let's dive into it. Last week, or in the last 7 days, I've seen two movies that really have strong appeal for retro punks. The first is Incredibles 2. Now, some of you might be saying right away, well, John, The Incredibles isn't Diesel Punk. No, but it is atomic punk, and it is a close cousin, and in some cases regarded as a subgenre of diesel punk. And The Incredibles 2 has a very 60s atom punk aesthetic to it, especially Incredibles 2. The first one had it, and maybe had more of a diesel aesthetic even than this one. This one has that very space race, you know, pop culture aesthetic to it. Lot of sleek design. The soundtrack is just phenomenal. If you can think of, you know, every great 60s spy action adventure movie and their soundtracks, this one builds on those and takes it to a whole nother level. The end credit track of the soundtrack, that's how they name the song, end credits. That one track alone is better than 99% of the entire movie scores I've seen in recent years. It was phenomenal. Now, high-level overview. Craig T. Nelson returns as Mr. Incredible. Holly Hunter returns as Elastigirl. And Samuel L. Jackson, Sam Jackson, returns as Frozone. And in this film, it's a sequel. It's a direct sequel. It starts off about 3 minutes after the original movie wraps up. And the Underminer, who is a direct influence or homage to the Fantastic Four's Mole Man, and why not? The Incredibles are an homage to Marvel's Fantastic Four. And now that Disney owns Pixar and Marvel, and they just bought Fox, which means they have the film rights back to the Fantastic Four, wouldn't it be awesome, since we're dealing with the multiverse in the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, wouldn't it be awesome if the Incredibles finally meet the Fantastic Four in a film version? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Actually, I would, just a little side note here, I would love it, love, 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 if Disney used the concept of the multiverse in the MCU in Avengers 4 while they're trying to, you know, correct the crime of Thanos wiping out half the galaxy, if you saw flashes or crossovers through the multiverse. They're doing it in Wreck-It Ralph, and I would love, love, love to see the same thing happen between, you know, the Pixar films, Lucasfilm, the MCU, and the Fox universe. And, of course, we can't forget the Muppets. The Muppets are owned by Disney as well. But, so anyway, this movie starts off three minutes after the end of the first movie. And it's really, here's what's going on. You think at the end of the first movie that they're going to make supers legal again. That didn't happen. So at the start of the second movie, they're all still illegal and not able to, not able to operate legally. But what you get is that there's a secret organization that is being led by, what is the name of the company? I'm trying to find it here. There is a company, is it Deaver? DevTech, that's what it was. DevTech, run by Winston Dever and his sister. And they are setting out to launch a media campaign that would convince the world leaders that it is time to make supers legal to operate again. And they come up with this plan. The center point of the plan is going to be the three most popular heroes ever: Mr. Incredible, Frozone, and Elastigirl. But whereas the first movie was Mr. Incredible's movie, this movie is Elastigirl's movie. And DevTech recruits Elastigirl to take the lead and to be the face of the resurgence or the return of heroes. And that's kind of the crux. Now, spoiler alert, here's where it goes wonkers. Winston's sister is just playing along, but she's got a secret plan. She's the villain. And she is, she's the villain. And the villain's name is, I'm going to find it here in just a moment because I forget it. It was a really clever name. That's why it's going to drive me crazy that I can't remember it right off the top of my head. But, let's see, voice cast. Where is it? Evelyn Screenslaver is the villain. And Evelyn is Screenslaver secretly. And her goal is to take control of everyone and take control of the supers, make them commit horrible, heinous acts so that they'll be branded enemies, terrorists, and made illegal forevermore. And the family of Incredibles, along with Frozone, have to figure out a way to defeat her plot, save the day. So the two kids, Violet and Dash, take center stage in this story, along with Jack-Jack. Jack-Jack has developed powers. A lot of powers. Like, a lot. And Mr. Incredible doesn't know how to deal with it, so he employs Edna Mode, who is happy to take Jack-Jack, darling. And she kind of puts Jack-Jack through the paces, figure out his powers, creates a suit to help him control the powers, and really, really funny stuff with Jack-Jack. Really funny. This was a really great movie. A lot of fun. A worthy sequel. I loved that they gave Elastigirl the lead and made her the central character. But at the end of the day, I left the theater thinking, you know, this is a good movie. This is a good superhero movie. It's a great Fantastic Four movie. But at the end of the day, it's really a movie about a dysfunctional marriage and the conflict that happens when one partner is selfish. Because Mr. Incredible's not real happy with Elastigirl being the face of this campaign. She gets to go out on these secret missions and be the face of the Return of the Supers while he has to stay at home and take care of the kids. And he's really jealous. He's trying to hide it. But at the end of the day, he wants her to fail until he needs her to succeed. And the crux is, you know, at the end, he comes to his senses and they all unite and are, you know, have the same goals. But that's really kind of the base of the conflict is, you know, a dysfunctional marriage with, you know, a very selfish partner. But only adults who are married and have been married for a while with kids are going to get that. That's going to go right over the heads of kids. And, you know, younger audiences are just going to love the comedy with Jack-Jack, the humor, Dash and Violet, and all of the action adventure. Really spectacular. And for the aesthetics, for the style, for the sleekness of the 60s, that atomic age styling and sound, this movie is top-notch. And there aren't a whole lot of movies that you can point to for this atomic punk style. This one could maybe, I'll need to see it again, but maybe could be the movie you hand to someone when they say, what is Atom Punk? Here you go. Actually, World of Tomorrow or Meet the Robinsons also could fit in that genre. Probably a few more that I'm not thinking of. But anyway, that is my thoughts on Incredibles 2. I would love to know your thoughts. Now, as a surprise to me, I went this past Monday to see a Fathom Events screening of the film version of the Broadway musical Bandstand. Now, this is not a movie adaptation. It is, they filmed a live performance of the show with multiple cameras in front of a live audience. It's very similar to what they've done for other Broadway shows, like Cats and Sunday in the Park with George, Into the Woods. You can get the Broadway productions on film. And that's what they did with Bandstand. And Bandstand, for neo-vintage World War II history fans and buffs, you have got to see this movie. Now, it could almost be qualified as diesel punk rather than just diesel era or diesel period. It's not diesel era because it wasn't made during the era. It's diesel period because it's contemporary about the era. But it might, and some might qualify this as punk, because it is a musical, so everything is sung. I don't remember any spoken dialogue. And it's about a group of musicians who have all served in the war. They've made it back to Cleveland, Ohio alive. They didn't know each other in Europe, but they all get brought together by Donnie Novitich. I should be able to pronounce that easier. I'm Polish. Donnie Novitich, who changes his name to Donnie Nova, to create a swing band to enter a competition to represent the state of Ohio for this contest in New York. The winner, the winning band, the winning song will be used in a film starring Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, etc. And so Donnie Novitich and Julia Trojan and the rest of the guys form this band. Now, Julia did not serve. Her best, her husband, who was Donnie's best friend in the service, served. He didn't make it out alive. And there's a huge twist at the end about that. But where this becomes punk is you've got this group of guys who are fighting against the status quo. At first, everyone's saying, you know, you're not young enough, you're not cool enough, you're not talented enough. And they rise above the criticism, they rise above the doubters. And then when they make it to the competition, they have to fight against the rules of the competition, and the final number, their competition number, is a true statement of what it is to be punk. So, as I sit here talking about it, I'm going to go ahead and call this one diesel punk. And, you know, it's set after World War II. You know, all the boys have come home. They've been home for a few months. This band is formed. You've got original swing tunes, boogie woogie, some starting on rock and roll. The vocals, oh my gosh, are amazing. The kid who plays Donnie and the girl who plays Julia, two of the best vocalists I've ever heard on stage. And not just them, the entire cast is maybe the most even cast I've ever seen. They all play, they all sing, phenomenal musicians, phenomenal voices. It was an amazing story, so moving, gave me goosebumps, made me laugh, made me cry, made me sit on the edge of the seat, and it's only airing one other date. And if you're listening to this on Thursday the 28th, tonight is the night. Go see it. It's a Fathom Events. Otherwise, you're going to have to catch it on DVD or Blu-ray later on. Buy it from Amazon or Broadway on DVD. But it's phenomenal. highly recommended. And if you love great music, if you love moving stories, and if you love the countercultural push against authority and status quo, if you are a punk at heart, you are going to love, love, love Bandstand. So those are my two big movie picks this week, and I highly recommend both. Now, I want to talk real quick about a project that I have that a friend of mine is doing, and I have this good buddy named Robert Turk. Robert Turk is a storyteller, and he performs with me sometimes at Comic Cons and at storytelling festivals, and really, really fantastic guy. And he has launched a project for a sci-fi retrofuturistic RPG role-playing game, tabletop role-playing game, called Starship Infernum. It's a pick-up-and-play role-playing game of interstellar survival. So the basics are that Starship Interim is an easy-to-run, easy-to-play, no-prep survival horror role-playing game. Players are trapped on a spaceship and trying to survive amid major crises. A single episode lasts 3 to 4 hours, and even if a character dies, they still contribute to the game. Best of all, the mechanics are based on the simple game of blackjack, the card game. No dice are needed. So, Starship Infernum. He's got a Kickstarter project going, and they're at a point where most experts would say they're beyond the point of no return. If they haven't raised a certain amount by now, they're not going to. I want everyone listening to this right now to go and to back this project, even if it's at the base level. Robert is a retro punk. He's a retro futurist like us. He loves sci-fi and fantasy. And let's help him out. Let's help a creator out. Go check out infernum.wicked-clever.com. And I'll post that link in the show notes. Or you can look up Infernum on Kickstarter. It's Infernum. Starship Infernum. Check it out. Pledge to Robert's Kickstarter. Help make this a reality for one of our own. That would be really, really awesome. So that's it, guys. So Incredibles 2, Bandstand, and Starship Infernum. I would love to hear your thoughts about Incredibles 2. And if you saw Bandstand, I want to know what you thought about it as well, because I thought it was spectacular, and I'm going to go ahead and call it Diesel Punk from this point out. So it was spectacular, Diesel Punk Theater, and I would love to know your thoughts. Send me an email. I'm using my personal email going forward, johnpyka@johnpyka.com, johnpyka@johnpyka.com. And while you're at it, go ahead and visit me on the website at johnpyka.com. Or you can send me an email at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com. And, of course, listen to old episodes at dieselpunkpodcast.com. And while you're at it, go ahead and post a comment and a review at iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review, post a comment, make it good, help spread the gospel of the Diesel Punk Podcast and Tales from the Flip Side and the Fedora Chronicles. That would be awesome. And tune in later this week. Eric and I have a new episode of the Fedora Chronicles coming up, and I think you guys will really, really enjoy it. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this week's episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, make sure you tell two 300 of your closest friends and family. Check out our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box, at magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use promo code BDCMagic. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.